My Music. A panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shryan. Your chairman, Steve Race.
Hello and welcome to this limited overs match. I am the bowler. The batting order reads as follows. Amos J, Muir F, Wallace I, and Norden D. Umpire Lawson L. And we're playing on a home pitch, the Westminster Theatre in London. Enough of this cricket talk. Your opening music, John, has educational rather than sporting associations. It ought to be familiar. It's broadcast several times a day. It's sort of a fanfare.
Which
they wouldn't play that chord at the end. If they left it indefinite, it would be so much better.
You know.
More intriguing.
You know it, do you?
It's the as you said, it's the educational thing.
It but it's not. It's, what?
Lord, what's it called?
Give it a name. Give the organisation a name. Do you know, Frank?
No. Well, it's all those study things.
Schools.
No. It's, I can't.
University.
It's the Open University programmes. But what is it? From. I mean, it's a work by a respected composer. Do you know?
Is it? I always thought it was something hashed up, especially for the show.
No, it is not. You don't get a mark, do you? You got Open University in the end. It's from Divertimento by Leonard Salcedo.
Good old Leonard.
Indeed. Right, Frank, see if you can do better. Her name is Agnes Baltzar, and her voice, I think, is magnificent. Rossini's music from The Barber of Seville. Sterbini's text after whose comedy?
Beaumarchais,
yes.
Contemporary of Casanova.
That's one way of putting it, exactly. 1775, his Figaro trilogy, as you well know. Much featured by Adelina Patti, who, when asked which crowned head she preferred, you know, this Frank pondered, and then said, well, the Tsar gives the best jewels. Ian, your turn. You're looking pleased with life. That, as you know, was the 1812 overture.
Oh! You've spoiled it all.
1812, Ian. Between the years 1810 and 1813, five of the world's greatest composers were born. Can you come up with their names? In that mere three-year period.
1810 to 1813. I studied history for quite a time at school,
well,
Steve.
This is history.
Yes, I know. And the only thing I associate with the year 1810 was that that was the founding year of the Gaslight and Coke Company. And I have always had a fatal propensity for those sort of pieces of information remaining firmly in the forefront of my memory. And an awful lot of the things that I should have been answering in examinations somehow slipped through the net somewhere.
It sounds a bit like the Gaslight and Coke Company taking part in that performance.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, have a shot. Five.
Well,
quick composers.
Some of the greatest... Well, I would have thought, without a doubt... that one of them would have been Wagner.
Yes, born...
Oh, good.
That's right. Born between 1810 and 1813.
And another one, as they were very contemporaneous, but keeping in the opera, would have been Verdi.
Yes, right. You've got three more to go. Marvelsville.
Mendelssohn?
No. No, doesn't fit there. No.
One mark off.
No. think of two or three pianists and you'll be there.
Two or three pianists? Yes. Chopin.
Yes, and two others.
Oh, I don't know. I'm coming.
In a moment, Frank is going to
duetters.
Say, Frank is going to say, I've got a little list in a minute. Liszt and Schumann would have been the other ones, which you certainly
haven't done
have
too bad.
Very, very, very good. Yeah. Dennis,
thank you, madam.
Well, Dennis, this song, first heard where and when?
But a man always loves a girl, a truth, all the facts must be confessed. He always swears the whole way through to every girl he tries to woo that he loves her far the best.
Now, where and when?
Well, where and when? It was heard in The Maid of the Mountains.
Yes.
During the First World War.
Good
in
enough
the middle
for me.
Of the First World War.
Exactly, 1917 at Daly's Theatre.
Daly's Theatre, yes.
That's right. Diana Richards wrote to me from Great Bookham in Surrey, because she always used to think the last line of that verse was, he loved her father best. It does sound a bit like that if you're not careful. National Heroes. John, can you name a musical work that carries Nelson's name and another that honours Wellington?
Well, there's Lennox Barclay's opera called Nelson.
Yes, that would do,
and
yes.
Boots, 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 boots. For Wellington.
Or for Wellington.
There we go.
But you know another Wellington's victory. You'll know who wrote that.
The Beethoven.
Beethoven, yes. The Haydn's Mass, the Nelson Mass, too, and various other things. You've got the mark. Frank, a song in praise of an Englishman who was on an excursion to France on the 25th of October, 1415.
It was a Thursday, wasn't it?
It was. Rather wet, a bit misty.
Am I supposed to listen?
No, you're just supposed to say which song. 1415. Song in praise of an English...
Was he a marshal, gentleman?
Yes, he was. Yes, royal, even.
Henry V.
You're toying with me, aren't you?
Well, I don't know any music connected with it. That's the trouble. Field of the Cloth of Gold. Is Agincourt, yes, but...
Song.
Isn't it?
The Agincourt.
This is the song.
The song.
Agincourt.
Our King Went Forth to Normandy was the song I had in mind, the Agincourt song.
Oh.
Ian, this is a blatant excuse to get you to sing just one verse, or maybe just one chorus, of a beautiful song. A song, please, in praise of Charles Edward Stuart.
Oh, yes. Bonnicelli's newa was safely o'er the friendly main. Mony a heart will break in two should he ne'er come back again. Will ye no come back again? Will ye no come back again? Better lood ye canna be. Will ye no come back again?
By Jove, it would be a brave man who didn't give you a mark for that, wouldn't he? Yes. Dennis, another national hero. Can you recall a line or two of a song in praise of a Tennessee congressman, trapper, Indian scout and hat designer?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was going to be a blatant excuse to get me not to sing, actually. He was born in a something, some in Tennessee, in the land of the free.
Yes.
David Crockett, King of the Wild Frontier.
That's right, yes, indeed. In the arts section of the Times newspaper, I came across an event with rather a strange name, the Great Comp Festival, C-O-M-P, the Great Comp Festival. I'm open to suggestions as to how it got that name, the Great Comp Festival. John, would you like to hazard a guess?
Once upon a time, I used to work for a musical firm. One of the things they did was to put on concerts for debut recitalists at the Wigmore Hall and places like that. And one of the great things, if you're giving a recital, is not that you can sing or play very well, but that you have a lot of friends. So as you send your handbill round and say, do come, yes. Julian. Or whatever it is. Well, now, lots of these recitalists didn't have enough friends, or didn't know how to do it. So we in the office used to have to give tickets away. And it's very difficult, because if you just send round 50 tickets to Middlesex Hospital for the nurses, perhaps there's a lot of ops on that night, and they don't come. And we used to send them out to boys' clubs and public libraries and things like that. And we had to keep a very careful watch. It's very difficult giving away complimentary tickets, or comps.
Comps. Exactly.
Now, Obviously, there must be a festival somewhere where they don't sell any tickets at all, but they give the whole damn lot away.
Well, that's right, yes. It's very simple, really. The Great Comp Festival takes place at Great Comp, Seven Oaks, Kent. That's where it is. And the Cheering Girion String Quartet were playing there, John, last year. The Great Comp Festival in Kent. There are eight tunes, as always, in the piano medley. John and Frank to name the first four, Ian and Dennis to name the second four. Right. John.
Oh, Cocaine Overture.
Yes, by Elgar.
Secondly, España by Chabrier.
España Chabrier. Hot Diggity, if you prefer, yes. Da da dee da da da
dum da dum. No, I hope Frank will get
Frank.
That.
Would be
my da da.
Yes, my da da.
Da da.
Do you remember her name?
Her name, Bachelor Girl.
No, she's Diane. You didn't get that, did you?
Oh, is she?
And the da 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 da.
Yes, that's another one that it's anonymous in my memory.
Yes, it's branches in all parts. Remember that one? Poinciana, your branches speak to me of love. Mm. Poinciana, it was called.
It's the mispronunciation of a tree.
You've got one out of two. Yes, then came Ian, or Dennis, Jim.
Jealousy.
Jealousy, and then?
Mamselle.
Mamselle.
I didn't get that third.
I didn't get
this
the third
This is from
one
a really rather obscure, it's a rather obscure Fred Astaire song from, I think, the story of Vernon Irene Castle. Would you like to be the love of my life, it was called. And finally...
Pretty Girls Like a Melody.
Yeah, you've got one and a half out of two. Pretty Girls Like a
mention
Melody.
Of, mention of jealousy and reminds me of a marvellous story by the tenor Richard Lewis, who had been singing in performance of The Messiah at the King's Hall at Bellevue, Manchester, alas, a place that is no longer a concert hall. And the circus had been on the previous, just finished the previous day, and they'd still got the animals, some of the animals around, out of sight. And, of course, the Messiah goes right through, and no applause until the end. And then there was a tremendous applause, and the performance was conducted by Sir Malcolm Sargent. And Richard said, as we came off afterwards, it was very delightful, because the applause was going. There were the elephants, all standing there in their stalls and hearing this applause and all going...
And he said,
we then got into a taxi, Sir Malcolm and I, and Sir Malcolm was tired and somewhat monosyllabic after the performance, but it was one of these very talkative taxi drivers who was going along, and he said... Great thrill for me to have you in the cab, Sir Malcolm. Tell me something. Do you ever play Jealousy?
I wondered what the connection would be.
Yes. Trace the connection. We were waiting for it. Yes. When you started by saying mention of jealousy. Yes. Then we got elephants. And the Messiah.
Yes. Order, Dennis, man. Dennis, you have to trust me.
Yeah, I do.
Right. Here's something musically a bit unusual. John, what is the featured instrument? John, instrument?
Bassoon.
Yes. What's
unusual doing there?
Jazz bassoon, most unusual. Also unusual, it's played by a girl, Sarah Watts.
Tremendous amount of blow.
Oh, yes.
For a puff.
For a moderate-sized girl, too. Frank, these pieces come from the Nutwood Suite.
Ah, bon.
And they're dedicated to Alfred Bestall, from which you will judge that Sarah Watts and the composer, Mike Hatchard, are both fans of whom? Alfred Bestall.
Alfred Bestall? Well, of course.
Who's he?
Anybody know?
His Nutwood is... Ah, yes.
Any ideas?
Nutwood...
Yeah, come on. Now, come on, you know this. You know this.
Come on, you know this.
Fruitwood.
What?
Nut and Fruitwood.
Anybody in the audience know the name of the person?
Rupert.
Yes, of course, Rupert. Rupert Bear, that's right. And Rupert. Alfred Bestall was the Rupert artist for many, many years. Rupert. Ian, this piece is... Ian, is actually called Mrs. Bear.
What is it?
That Sarah Watts recording was made at the Stables, presumably a place with stalls. What can you tell me about that place? Sounds rather an odd place to record, doesn't it?
Stables. Ah, no, I can tell you something about that.
I knew you could.
Because I've had the good fortune to go there to perform.
So have I.
And at the time of speaking to you, I'm soon to go again. Uh-huh. And it is the musical... headquarters, you might almost say, of John Dankworth and Cleo Lane.
Indeed it is.
At the Stables at Wavendon Music Centre, where they give concerts and occasionally ask the likes of me to go.
Yes, even
but
me.
Concerts of all different kinds.
Yes, Ian and I have been
even,
there.
Yeah, even you, right, Steve. Yeah. Well, just shows the wide variety, doesn't it?
Dennis, more familiar music for you. Don't get around much anymore. The composer, Dennis.
Duke Ellington.
Duke Ellington, yes. And jazz fans will know the original title for that was Never No Lament, also known as Foxy one time. Duke Ellington. I'm making quick inquiries about four things to be found in popular songs. A pocketful of tin, a fine tooth comb, an Indian Raja, and the grin of impetuous youth. John, a pocketful of tin. Where can I find that in a song? A pocketful of tin.
I was thinking Beowulf or something like that.
No,
an early opera.
Something
by George
much
Lloyd.
More of a community song.
No, it's surely Lake Victorian or Edwardian. It means money, isn't it? Pocket, am I right?
No, I don't
musical.
Think so. Well, no doubt sung in musicals. It's a real old community song. I go back home with a pocket full of tin. Oh, do da day. Camp Town races.
Oh.
Frank, a fine tooth comb.
Oh, well, if Bill Bailey ever gets home, that's what she'd run through his hair.
That's right. Ian, an Indian Raja.
Bumpity, 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 bump, as though I was riding a charger.
Yes, all
the girls declare that I'm a gale stager.
Hey,
and it's the galloping major.
Galloping major, that's right. Oh. Dennis, the grin of impetuous youth.
You have the eye for the seeker of wisdom and truth.
Yes.
I believe in you.
I believe you. Frank Lesser's song, yes. There's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth. There's a song you all know. Who will be the first to place a reference to A Dainty Bray? A Dainty Bray. The name of the song.
Has she not got a dainty bray?
The name of the song. The name
of the song. Donkey Serenade.
Yeah. Ian, Dennis has got it again, yes. Amigo mio, does she not have a dainty bray? One for the audience. Which song has a reference to the Bishop of Bath and Wells? Tell them, Ian.
The Elephant of Flanders and Swan.
Yes.
Third verse. Alternative version.
Yes.
The Bishop of Bath and Wells.
It's a Donna Summer number, actually. Yeah.
You know, Constant Lambert,
sorry,
the composer, invented limericks on the names of all the double-barreled bishops that there are. There are about 53 limericks.
Really?
And some of the titles of the bishops are so long that they go on into the third line.
Yes. He didn't have Hugh Montefiore to contend with in his day, did
yeah,
he?
Yeah, some of them are very rude.
Which would you rather hear, audience? A song about babies, about love, or about cricket? You shall have the lot. Frank, you really ought to have a straw boater and a ukulele to do this justice, not to
but
mention...
I have a straw, but you no. should have said I bought Malone.
Ah, well, you've got the pink bow tie, that'll do. Mm. You've got a raccoon coat. Anyway, here's the song. Right.
Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't be maybe. Yes, sir, that's my baby now. Yes, ma'am, we've decided. No, ma'am, we won't hide it. Yes, ma'am, you're invited now. By the way, when we reach the preacher, I'll say, yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, don't be maybe. Yes, sir, she's my baby now.
I promised a love song. John, will you oblige?
This is one of Tom Moore's Irish melodies. Love thee, dearest, love thee, yes, by yonder star I swear, which, though tears above thee, shine so sadly fair. Though too oft dim with tears, like him, my truth will shine. And love thee, dearest, love thee, yes, till death I'm thine. Leave thee, dear, oh dear, oh dear. Leave thee, dearest, leave thee. Know that star is not more true. When my vows deceive me, he will wander too. A cloud of night may veil his light, and death shall darken mine. But leave thee, dearest, leave thee. No, till death I'm thine.
Dennis will now tell it like it was.
A mother was bathing her baby one night, the youngest of ten and a tiny young mite. The mother was poor and the baby was thin, only a skeleton covered in skin. The mother turned round for the soap off the rack. She was but a minute, but when she got back, the baby was gone, and in anguish she cried, "Oh, where is my baby?" The angels replied, "Your baby has gone down the plug hole. Your baby has gone down the plug. The poor little thing was so skinny and thin, he should have been bathed in a jug. Your baby is perfectly happy. He won't need a bath anymore. Your baby has gone down the plug hole. Not lost, but gone before."
To celebrate a cricket match at Hambledon in 1929, Peter Warlock set to music Bruce Blunt's poem about those stalwarts of the olden time, the cricketers of Hambledon.
And yeah. just before I sing this, Steve, I was given something quite difficult to do when at a test match at Headingley at Leeds, where I was kindly invited to do the thing called A View from the Boundary on the Saturday lunch interval, and... Brian Johnston said, we're going to get you to sing. We're definitely going to get you to sing. And I thought, all right, I'll find a cricket song. And this was the song that I found for that particular occasion. And I must say, the Pakistan commentator looked very baffled by the time I had finished.
make a song of Hambledon and sing it at the George, of balls that flew from Beldam's bat like sparks from Fenwick's forge. The centuries of Aylward and a 1,000 guineas bet, and Silter keeping wicket to the thunderbolts of Brett. Then up with every glass and we'll sing a toast in chorus. The cricketers of Hambledon who played the game before us, the stalwarts of the olden time who rolled a lonely down and made the king of games for men with Hambledon the crown. The sun has left Broad Ha'penny and the moon rides overhead. So pass the bottle round again for drinking to the dead. To Small and his companions all who gathered lose or win, to take their fill of Nyland's best when Nyland kept the inn. Then up with every glass and we'll sing a toast in chorus. The cricketers of Hambledon who played the game before us, the stalwarts of the olden time who rolled a lonely down and made the king of games for men with Hambledon the crown.
Ball-by-ball commentary by Ian Wallace. And, Ian, that is not your Lord's tie, is it, you've got on?
I should have a Lord's Taverner's tie on to be talking about...
Anyway, never mind, because the quiz result shows a victory this week for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Pete Atkins.